the questions from the community continue.
Keep them rolling. These are the real issues, the heart of the matter, Pat.
Yeah, we're hearing from the people. Mm-hmm. So this one, I'm going to modify some things. And so the person who wrote in, you'll know that this is your question because you requested a little anonymity. We're going to give it to you. So I'll keep it vague. There are some people somewhere in the world, they're going to buy a gym. Okay, this is about as vague as I can get right there. Mm-hmm. And they're overall pretty darn happy with, sounds like, the space, the community, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the biggest hurdle that they're trying to overcome is to figure out the standard of coaching. The existing coaches are capable and knowledgeable enough to provide good coaching. However, more often than not, I would say that what they're really doing is simply supervising the class and not actually coaching. My question is, how do we increase the standard of coaching without stepping on too many toes?
An excellent question. This is really great because right out off the bat, asking a question like this, I think, is the right framework for somebody who's about to step into a new leadership role. Well, they care enough to say, look, we got a good thing going and we don't want to just squash it. So how do we come in understanding that this is going to be a big change no matter what? I mean, you know, sale of a gym, transition of leadership, something like that. It's never nothing. It's never just like an apples to apples trade-off.
Well, not even just not squash it, but they themselves must be tuned into the value of coaching.
Yes.
Because they're not buying anything. It sounds like they're not buying anything that's broken. So they could have been like, let's just keep going. People are paying, they're showing up and they're happy. So, but they're actually like, let's get these people some good training.
Yeah. So I think if they're already a step ahead by approaching it with this mentality, which is great. I would take a page out of kind of your book, which is let's put yourself in the shoes of the people that you're about to purchase, or not that you're about to purchase, but that you're about to, I guess, effectively take over leadership for. So the average coach, I think, really, really wants to have opportunities to continue developing. And I feel like it's not easy for somebody who's working on the floor, putting together their lesson plans, trying to do a good job executing on the class, maybe having their hand in the programming a little bit, staying on top of their members' issues. It's not always easy for people like that to feel like they're a significant part of the whole where they can really drive development even on an individual level in a significant way. Maybe there's just not enough time or, you know, at the end of the day, there's just not the creative spark to do it because you've done all these other activities for the day that have kind of worn you out. All that to say, I think when people are presented with something and it's like, look, we are really interested and invested in trying to make this group better. Here are some ways that we'd like to come together and do that. I think you'd be really surprised at how receptive most people are to getting into that position. Now, that said, I think there's some poor ways to do it. And, you know, it can go down the road of like kind of make work projects or a bunch of meetings on the books that don't go anywhere, a bunch of time sunk sitting around kind of just rehashing things that don't really matter. That's not good. But there's a huge opportunity, in my opinion, to start to get some serious staff development collectively and collaboratively with this change of ownership. So I would look to that as a real positive moment in the history of this gym and start thinking about like, okay, if we do come in and we do start making some of these suggestions, this could be for the benefit of everybody. And they may actually be interested in it as opposed to, well, we don't want to be too heavy-handed because we don't want to squash it. You've already got that going for you. Mm-hmm. So think about it from the other end and start to ask yourself like, hey, how great could this be if we could get everybody invested?
I've got something going on in my head now that I don't know how to phrase it, put it out here. Anyway, I'll just throw it out. You know, depending upon the order that these shows get posted, but the show that we just previously recorded, we spoke about trainers at gyms doing the actual same programming as the members, right? And is that common or not common? And, you know, you're of the opinion, and I tend to agree with it, that most of the time, yes, you know, you walk into a gym, the trainers are doing the same thing they're asking you to do. That occurs most of the time. I don't want to be pessimistic, but I almost feel like I don't think I can say that great coaching occurs most of the time. I actually don't think that that occurs. You know, when I pop into gyms, when I go to places, like, don't get me wrong, there's, you know, it's clean, it's well run, I had a good time, it was a pleasant experience, but I think it's far too common, the situation that these people are saying, which there was people there, they ran the class, they kept us on time. Logistically, we got where we needed to be. They made sure the gear was stimulated. We weren't going to run into each other. But, you know, like we used to say all the time, or that the deal where, like, did I walk out at the end going, wow, like, that coach was on me, like, not in a bad way, but they were on me. And man, I got some stuff to work on. I'd be lying if I said that I feel like that was common. And so the fact that these people want to create this sort of a culture here, I think it's fantastic. It's remarkable. And the coaches that they described, I feel like that's a bit too, too frequent. And so real coaching, as you well know, like real coaching, like I just described, where you've got 15 people in a class, and at the end of the class, each person's like, man, I feel like the coach was on me. And the other person's like, I feel like they're on me too. And the other person's like, really? I felt like they were. Like, that's, you're busting your tail as a coach to do that. It's hard, hard work that if you've got a coach that's not used to doing that, that's a quite a large task. And I don't know if these coaches, do they have the skill set and they're just not turning it on? Or do they not have the skill set right now to really, you know, teach, see, and correct at that level? And they're more good at, they're better at just the logistics of running the class. I'm not sure which one that falls into. It's just you need to turn that back on. Great. But the fact that this is on the horizon of the new owners and they want to be like if you walk into CrossFit South Brooklyn, the experience that you're going to get there, it's going to be a remarkable experience. You walk into CrossFit Roots in Boulder, you're going to know that there were coaches on the floor, and you'll know. And if you're trying to replicate that, like, hey, good on you. But I don't think a lot of people realize how difficult it really is, you know. And that's not to say that it shouldn't dissuade you from doing it, but it's a challenge, and it's the right challenge.
Yeah. So I've got kind of two things that comment kind of spurred in me. The first is that if it's a group of people that have the capability, but for whatever reason, they are opting not to tap into that capability, I think that suggests a deeper problem. And it's probably going to manifest as that coach is on the way out anyway. The membership is declining. Something else is going on in the gym. And, you know, people don't have a good skill set and just choose not to use it because things are going well. So that doesn't seem to be the situation that they're describing with the rest of the question, where it's a positive gym culture. It seems like they're really stoked on this thing that they're purchasing. I mean, unless they're oblivious to it, it sounds like that's not the case. So that to me suggests that they're dealing with a coaching staff that may not have that skill set developed yet. And I guess the point I was trying to make previously is that I think if you were to stand in front of anybody who's coaching seriously as even just a high-end hobbyist all the way up to, like, this is my profession, and you said, hey, given the choice, would you want to remain where you are, or would you want to have a much more refined skill set where you could make a bigger difference in people's lives? I think it's a no-brainer. Everybody's going to say, yes, I want that second one. Now, when you ask them, okay, cool, can you lay out a path for me how to get to that end state? That's where I think it's a unique individual that can say, oh, well, I can see on a self-developmental level how I would go from A through B through C and arrive at this heightened coaching state. Most people are not going to be able to identify that, and they're going to have a harder time self-starting that process. Which I guess what I was trying to say is that if you have somebody that comes in with a fresh perspective and can lay out that path, most people, in my experience, if they understand what's at the end of that path, are going to be willing to at least step on it and take some steps. So that's where I see this is like a huge opportunity for these new owners to come in and say, hey, man, maybe we can identify this path and lay it out in the way that it's like, man, we're really invested in our coaching staff. We really want to make you guys like the best that we can in our community. so that you are clearly the choice when people think about, where am I going to go work out in this town? And, you know, we're going to make you more effective. We're going to do it together. It's going to be a positive thing. Doesn't mean it's not going to be work. Doesn't mean it's not going to come without its challenges, but we're all going to get on board and we're going to do it together. I think given that as an option, most people would be excited by it because they don't have to, in addition to all the work that they're already doing, come up with a self-guided path to mm-hmm. that next step. That's a lot of work to try to do that. So that's kind of my read on that situation.
No,
and I've got a couple of strategies that I'll suggest when we kind of get to the tail end of this, but that's my take, is this is a big opportunity to kind of lay this new culture.
Absolutely in agreement on that. And I think it's the right, there shouldn't be any other option. Let me go ahead and put it that way. If you're running a gym and people are paying you a handsome fee to show up each month, you should be actively invested in your people and your trainers to make the best trainers who have the people have the best experience. Like, you're paying for a professional service, and it's hard work on the individual trainer level to be a professional trainer. You're hustling, you're working hard during that hour. And then the owners of the gym would ideally have, you know, you're not just going to walk in and just say, hey, we want all you guys to be exceptional. We're not quite sure how that's going to happen, but we'd love for you to be exceptional. It's like, well, no, your hard part is to help construct an actual roadmap of trainer development or of professional development and credentials and experiential, you know, shadowing of other people, like whatever it happens to be. So it's not just empty words of like, the trainer should be better. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah. How does it actually occur? And so, you know, both parties have to carry their load and, you know, sharing that load equally towards the common goal. But it should be the goal of every gym, as far as I'm concerned, whether it's month one, you should be looking to have the best trainers in the world. And if you've been an opener a decade, it's not to rest on your laurels, but it's just to be, you know, like, hey, we must be doing something right. We've been around 10 years, but what could we even do better? Like, you know, is there something that we're missing out on to give these people a better experience, or something we should be doing for our trainers so that they're unquestionably just top notch? Yes. I mean, that's the true path to a professional trainer. And I will say, after having been to, I don't even know how many CrossFit gyms around the world since 2005, but a very fair amount, you know, I walk into a lot of gyms and I have, like I said, a good experience. I have a great time. I meet wonderful people. I get in a great workout and everything's just fine. Okay. There's just fine. And then you walk into one and you leave and you're like, wow, what's going on here? Like, this was a unique and remarkable experience. I wonder if I just nailed it at the 7 p.m. class. And then you go back again and that experience is replicated again, even with a different trainer. Now you're like, whoa, I'd like to look under the hood here because people are doing something right. That's the goal, but that just doesn't fall out of the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it's cultivated like so many things. And I mean, I guess an important note there is that if you do have this kind of situation where you're comparing the two, you've got the gym that, yeah, the experience is okay, it's whatever. And then you go and you contrast it with this elevated experience and you say, how am I going to bridge the gap? Yeah, it's going to be a cultivation and it's going to take time. And so don't get discouraged along the way if it's not an immediate thing. And don't get discouraged along the way if it takes a little bit of false starting. You're going to have some paths that you go down there like, eh, that wasn't the one. Seemed like it got us there for a minute, but
it has to be immediate success with no deviations.
Yeah, exactly. So just make sure that doesn't creep in there. But, you know, I do want to kind of shift to talk about some things that I think could be of immediate benefit to a new owner and ultimately, I guess, a new staff, even if much of that staff is, you know, not old, I guess that's not the right word, but kind of being carried over from the previous ownership. Anyway, at the end of the day, I guess what I'm trying to say is you got a new team, regardless if there's a lot of old members on that team. So you're going to have to just come to terms with that. But one of the things that I really like is this kind of culture of sharing best practice that emerges naturally when you put a bunch of coaches in the same room together. And sometimes they just don't get the opportunity to be in that same room together often enough. And I think the mistake in these types of sessions is trying to get too controlling with what you're going to discuss. What the trick is, in my opinion, is just offering enough framework so that it gets things rolling and then allowing everybody to bring to the table what their strengths are. And so, you know, these kind of recurring mini staff development sessions, I think, can have a lot of meat on the bone. It could be as simple as, all right, everybody, every week for 30 minutes at lunchtime on Wednesday, we're going to rotate through the coaches and you're going to bring your favorite workout to the table. And you just need to discuss it in front of us and tell us why you like this workout so much. What is it about it that appeals to you? And maybe that's a workout that is a classic gym benchmark, or maybe it's one that is unique for that session. You can kind of decide that. But okay, Pat, next week you're up. You're going to craft a workout, or maybe it's a workout that we've done in the program that was yours, and you're going to talk to us about why you like it so much. And through that, it just opens up the discussion about programming that everybody's involved in on the gym. Cool. You could do that same thing for a movement. Say, all right, the topic this month is muscle up. And Boz, it's your week this time. You're going to come to the table and you're going to give us your top three troubleshooting techniques for somebody who cannot get the transition in the muscle up.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Cool. And then from that, it's going to start to ping pong and all these different best practices are going to emerge. And off we go. We're on the races there. You know, that kind of sharing of information is truly what the best trainers benefit from. And we used to see this all the time in the early days when there wasn't that much information around. You were just hungry to be in the same room as another coach because you just didn't have too many other opportunities to pick things up, and you'd get these little nuggets and you're like, man, that was great. And you take it and you try it on for size and you kind of put your own spin on it. But at the end of the day, it's one thing that you didn't have that now you did, and you could build off of it. And I mean, I think anybody who's been around a long time, who has, in the eyes of their peers, developed a pretty good skill set, if they're honest and humble enough about it, they're going to look at it and say, like, yeah, most of that was begged, borrowed, and stolen from other people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I don't think that's like...
Not as a negative.
The other end of that is like there's a bit of false humility, because you can't just take somebody else's pair of shoes, for example, put them on as your own and expect that you're going to run faster. It's a clunky analogy, but it's true. You need to maybe sample that and then make it your own within that process. So it's not fair to say that it's just simply stolen, but you have to be willing to take those other types of cues and approaches on and see what you can create out of them. And that's often what molds the best approach. So facilitating that as an owner, as somebody who wants to get the best out of their coaches, that's the job, in my opinion, or at least one aspect of it. So enough framework to get the conversation going, not so much homework and control that it feels like it's a burden, or that you got to stick to this tight guardrail of you know, kind of scripted, boring content. But that can really generate a lot of cool ideas. And it starts to build that idea of teamsmanship where, hey, man, this is an environment where we can trade ideas and where we can get to the bottom of like why something works or doesn't work.
Well, I think that's just it. It's like we cover so often in these episodes. It's open, honest, and clear, transparent communication, you know, and if you bring the trainers into a room, look, hey, we're the new owners, and you're looking to have a conversation, you know, which as simple as that word is, I'm going to define it a little bit because I think that helps lay the groundwork. A conversation is a two-way street. You know, it's not you talking at somebody. That's not a conversation. If the new owners come in and they just start talking at the people, that's probably not going to go well. But if you are seen as somebody actually having a conversation, I'm expressing ideas to you. I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to understand your thoughts on this. You've been the boots on the ground. We're only seeing it from this perspective. And there's this back and forth, this interplay of neither one trying to prove that they are right and prove that the other one's wrong. It's an actual exchange of ideas. And now let's look at all these ideas. And if we truly care about these people, then we should truly care about the best practices emerging from everybody in this room. I think that's going to set you up for success, even if, you know, and then you say, look, we're not going to nail this out of the gate. But we want to start the process. Like, let's start, because some things you're only going to learn that they didn't work until you start doing them. And so you've got to try these things with humility and to be open that, hey, we thought that this, you know, this exchange of trainer ideas here would lead to this, or that this would do that, or shadowing. Like, you got to go there and try it, see if it works. If it works, keep it. If it doesn't, with no ego, throw it out, try something else. And little by little, you'll be on a really great path. But if you're approaching your people in that way, that you're at their level, right? You're not the ownership that's above them. And then you express to them, I think you said this earlier in the show, it would be really weird and really telling that maybe you have the wrong trainers. If you sat down as a new owner, you're like, look, great news. We are going to be so invested in making you the best trainer in the world, just with your interpersonal skills, your teaching, your seeing, correcting. We want you to get more book knowledge, more real knowledge. Like, we're in there for you to make you exceptional. And they're like, that doesn't really work for me. You know, like, that'd be weird. You'd think your trainer would be like, that sounds incredible. Like, you're invested in me. You want me to be the best trainer that I can be. And we're going to do this together. Awesome. I mean, so I would think it's a very odd group of people that wouldn't hear that. And then, you know, the plan doesn't need to be perfect. You know, show up with a rough plan. Don't fall in love with the plan. No plan survives contact with the enemy. Go back and forth and just start the ball rolling. And you'll make rudder adjustments along the way. But the fact that you're actually trying and engaged, and you're not the just standoff owners that all you do is check and make sure that the membership hasn't declined each month. But I mean, that you're probably going to have a great facility, like, no joke, because you're actually, you care. You really do care.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. I'll go back to something you just said, though, and offer that I do think there are plenty of people that are, for lack of a better term, they are content with where they are. And I think there is a pretty big population of trainers that are like, you know what? Yeah, I am comfortable with my skill set, and no, it doesn't need to be radically elevated from where it is right now. And I'm okay with it being a hobbyist approach. And that's that. And I wouldn't discount that as being something that happens pretty regularly. And being prepared for that, I think, is also important for this new owner. So, you know, you may have a couple of people on staff that, when presented with that option, are like, you know what? Nah, actually, I'm good. I've got three kids at home. I do this part-time. I love it. But this is about all the time I can dedicate to it. Okay, cool. You're going to need a plan for those people too.
Yeah,
that
that's
plan
fair.
That plan may be, hey, you know what, over time, we're going to expect more out of you. And if you can't commit, maybe this isn't the place long-term. That may be the plan, but have that plan. The plan may be, okay, no problem. You know what? Well, that's fine. But just understand that that means you're basically going to have the same schedule that you have now. It's not going to open a lot of opportunity for more classes or more opportunities in the future. So if we can agree to that, then okay, then great. Let's keep going forward. Mm-hmm. But again, having a plan for the people that may not be as warm to the idea is important also. But last thing that I kind of wanted to get in there, I have kind of like two levels of this. The concept is that one other way to really build a strong culture within your gym with the training staff. And let me back up and say that the best CrossFit gyms that I've been to, it is obvious that the staff is in line with each other. They are working together towards a common goal. Mm-hmm. You can feel it right away.
Their team.
Yeah. And one of the best strategies that I've seen for that is this culture of coaches taking other coaches' classes. And that, I think, is so cool because it does a lot of things. Number one, it shows the members that, hey, not only, it's the old Hair Club for Men thing, right? Not only am I the president, I'm also a member.
Yeah.
And so you get to have that experience with your
that
members.
That is solid advice.
Yep. And then secondarily, it does create this kind of healthy pressure, in my opinion, where if I'm the coach and I've got another coach in my class, man, I better be on my game because it is way harder and way more nerve-wracking to do a good job in front of your peers, exactly, than it is to a bunch of people that it's not their profession. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of stage one, is if you can get coaches taking each other's classes. Stage two would be hey, maybe it's once a month we do a coach's closed door session and we rotate who leads that session on the staff. So it's just the six coaches that we've got in this week, or this month rather. Pat, you are leading the class for just the six coaches. And the expectation is that it's a full class, fully coached, on time, top to bottom. And it's not like an evaluation, but it's like, yeah, man, we're turning up for class. It's just a coach's class. That's probably one of the most nerve-wracking situations a coach could be put in. But if you get comfortable in that environment...
I was gonna say, it's not an evaluation, but you'll feel some pressure, I guarantee it.
Exactly. But if you can get your coaches comfortable in that environment and excelling in that environment, man, when they get in front of regular members, it's going to be a cakewalk for them to be solving these problems. Exactly.
Yep. They'll be bulletproof. So, yep, 100%.
Anyway, just a couple other suggestions that you can start to really breed that culture of, hey, man, everybody's developing together. Like you said, it's a genuine desire to get to the bottom of best practice. It's not trying to one-up each other. And, you know, all done within the kind of idea that we're going to move forward as a group. So some food for thought.
I like it. Yeah. And that's all I got on it.
Yeah, me too. That was it. I think that's the last step. Get everybody working out together with somebody at the helm. Rotate who that person is.
But to the individuals who wrote in this question, we wish you the best. I think you're asking the right questions. From as much as I could tell from your question, your priorities are straight, you care, and I've got a really good feeling that things are going to go quite well at your facility because you're on the right track. So please go ahead and keep it up. As we say at the end of all these, this is another question from the community. We love them. Keep sending them our way. Find this episode on the BTWB YouTube channel. Post your thoughts and comments about this topic. Let us know if you have a topic for a future show, you know, or, I don't know, hit us up on Instagram, the Varied Not Random Instagram account, or email it in. Go to variednotrandom.com and you can check out all the cycles we have for improving your body weight movements, some barbell work, all kinds of good stuff in there. I think you'll enjoy those. And for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we will see you next time.